everyone, and welcome to E3 with Games Radar, Episode 3, Part 1.
E3-3.
The Becoming. I'm Hollander Cooper. Here with me is
Ryan Telchnik.
Henry Gilbert.
Come on your tanks.
Come on your tank.
And
Becoming.
Come on your tanks, Magrino.
That's what I do. If I have a tank, you know what's happening.
You gonna come on it?
Probably.
Ew.
I'm excited for that video, by the way.
Yeah.
We have a video going up, or it might be up by now, of just the...
of just me coming on a tank.
And it's not that pleasant.
Spray and pray. Just spray and pray.
It's just what you do.
We did, as soon as the first painfully awkward statement was made on any E3 live stream, we said, you know what, we should write all these down and make a funny video montage of all of them.
Which became a meme within the room where somebody would say, and then you can come on your tanks, and there's just every person in the room going, Ryan, write it down.
Yeah, I would always respond with, already on it.
Also, I'm pretty sure if we do have a TTD timer, which is a time to dick joke timer, this podcast has to be number one in Radio Radar history.
Probably. I mean, I'm going to attribute it to being a Wednesday of E3.
Is it Wednesday? What day is this?
I think it's Wednesday. So things are winding down at this point.
Today there was not much news. Was there any news? Can we think of any news? The Last Guardian's probably canceled. That's news. Was that today or yesterday?
I think that was yesterday.
Don Mattrick taking a giant dump over everyone who plays video games.
I feel like that was yesterday.
Was that yesterday?
Did we talk about it yesterday?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, okay.
It was a pretty sizable dump.
Like, yeah, that was a really
substantial.
Really,
it was a. Let them eat cake. If they're starving, they can just eat cake.
Right.
I mean, come on.
It really was the let them eat cake of the console generation.
I don't understand what the problem is.
Yeah, if they don't have internet, I don't get it.
Right. You're on a nuclear submarine defending the free world. Get a 360.
Duh. Idiot. Don Mattrick essentially called the armed forces a bunch of cowardly assholes.
Right.
That's what he did.
It's like, well, you're the fucking...
Allegedly.
You're the fucking military armed forces.
You might be stretching on that one.
Invent a router that works underwater. No, he actually did say, what is a nuclear submarine? I don't even know what that is. I've never been on one. Why would I need to accommodate
to be fair,
for that?
None of us have ever been on one.
No,
but...
Okay. Yeah.
I would argue that the people who are on those are worth more as human beings than we are.
I mean, I'm sure there's at least a few shitty people on it.
They have divine status.
Oh.
Don't you know? You live in America, all right?
No, but I saw that movie with Frasier, and he was in a...
Down Periscope?
I saw Down Periscope a few times.
Yeah. I saw Hunt for Red October once.
I think it's the same as Down Periscope.
So, looking through our news posts, I think the only slight bit of news really is that... there was some clarification about PlayStation Plus being required, and it was just basically you only need it for online games, but you can still play free-to-play games and watch Netflix.
So are you going to be able to play like DC Universe Online without it?
I guess they said if it's a free-to-play game, you don't need
just
to
imagine,
buy
PlayStation Plus. So Drive Club is free for the first month. Well, it's free in the first month. And every month there's going to be a free... By the way, I'm kind of scared. So they said Drive Club PlayStation Plus Edition is going to be free in the first month.
Okay.
And that frightens me because when they add the PlayStation Plus Edition, that sets a precedent where any developer could be like, hey, I want to strip out 3/4 of the features and make a PlayStation Plus version of my game. Mm-hmm. Can you put that as a free thing next
But
month?
You seem to have forgotten...
You pay $30 to get the full version.
You seem to have forgotten that Sony is on our side.
They are.
They are angels.
Right.
I think people are so quick to...
I know, right?
I do agree with Dave Houghton on Twitter had an interesting point.
Didn't he?
About Don Mattrick's statement that at least when Sony said, like, hey, you gotta get two jobs to get a PS3. At least they were like, they had bravado about it. They're just like, hey, asshole, you get a second job. PS3 means that much. You gotta get $600.
I don't know if you've seen the next generation, but it's better than you, so go fuck yourself. Was actually the slogan for the PlayStation 3 for two full years.
Well, meanwhile, Don Mattrick, like, he knew He knew it was stupid as he was saying it, but he had to say it. Like,
and he said it with like a weird, almost like he was delivering bad news. Mm-hmm. He's like, I understand it's rough to not have internet.
Like your life is shitty on a number of levels, and
it would probably be better if you had an Xbox One. Mm-hmm. But
I mean, your options are this: move, become less of a shitty person. I mean, really,
yeah.
Or just dig a trench yourself, lay the lines, and upgrade to an Xbox One.
Or buy an Xbox 360 and live like a motherfucking Neanderthal. Now, these are all quotes. Yeah. I'm reading them from an official press release. We lie the more this podcast goes on, by the way. Well, the more episodes we do, yeah, the higher percentage chance there
you
is
can't
of
believe
us just
a
making
damn
shit up
thing we say.
And then qualifying it with, this is the God's honest truth.
Right.
So I don't know if you guys had any interviews today, but I had one, and when I did ask them to weigh in on used games, like this was Takashi Izuka.
Takashi, our video guy?
Takashi.
Is it spelled differently?
Yeah, T-A-K-A, not
T-A-K-A. Takashi, like an old Games Radar person, would mistakenly pronounce Takeshi's name?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, buddy.
K are totally different, letters in hiragana. But anyway.
Hinawa is how you pronounce that.
Takashi Izuka. He's the head of Sonic. Sonic
we just made that guy's. We made fun of that guy's name for a solid 30 seconds.
Okay,
E3 Day 3.
What he said about used games was very noncommittal. Where he just said, "As a consumer, I want my games to be able to be playable when I get them from someone else. It's my right as a consumer to resell my games, but." As a publisher, like, I want us to make money off of every game we've sold, and we lose a lot of money off of used sales.
So he essentially said, like,
so
I'd really like
statement.
I'd really like to have our cake and eat it too.
Exactly.
Is there any way I can do that?
I mean, I'm really sympathetic. I'm sympathetic to the publisher position, just because it's like, it's not like the people who make video games are rolling in dough. Like,
only
every single day,
Lamborghinis and
yeah, every single day we hear about, oh, that studio closed down, oh, that studio laid off half its people.
Bobby Kotick gets like $5 million bonuses.
Well, I mean, but
because he drove his company to profitability.
Right.
But he's also an exception. I mean, when you think of all the lower level developers who will work 12-hour days, 6 days a week, 7 days a week.
Right.
In many cases. And
8 days a week, even.
And
10 days a week.
Sometimes.
11 days a week.
Anyways, they work a lot.
They work a lot.
Work a lot of hours, sometimes for shit pay.
Right.
You know?
12 days a week sometimes.
I mean, I just love this idea that, like, somehow the publishers are charging $60 and being greedy when, in many cases, they're having a hard time remaining afloat.
Not only that, but I like the fact that developers and publishers need to consistently say with a straight face when asked questions like this, like somebody comes up to them and is essentially saying, hey, is it cool if instead of paying you for the thing you made, I pay a stranger to sit in his apartment and play it instead? Like, is it cool? Money's going to exchange hands.
I paid good money to someone else play your game.
I want you to be okay with me not giving you money and securing your career.
Right.
To play a game just so that, and your answer has to be, well, I'm happy someone's playing it. Is it cool if we have that conversation? Developers need to every day eat a shit sandwich and say that. And, like, gamers get furious if a developer goes, like, I really don't want people to buy used games. And people are outraged at that. Developers have to openly be okay with that.
Yeah.
There's a defense that at GameStop, specifically at GameStop, when people turn in their games, the resale of those games don't go to the publishers, but people use those they use that money to then buy a new game.
I worked at GameStop.
No, I know, right?
For 3 years. That happens less often than somebody trades in games. So here's the situation. I'm going to open them. I don't know. I could get sued for this.
All right, fine.
Fucking somebody, some kid comes in with a stack of scratch to shit PS2 games. He puts them on the counter and sits there and asks you how much money he's getting, groans every time, and says, like, how much am I getting for that game that I spent $50 on 7 years ago? And you go, $1.50. Yeah. And they go, but I spent $50 on it.
Oh, come on!
And then they ask how much they're getting in cash. Uh-huh. And you say, like, $8 for these 17 games because we give you nothing for cash. Mm-hmm. And then they go, okay, I'll take store credit. How much am I getting? And they go, like, $26. Mm-hmm. And then they walk over to the used shelf. Mm-hmm. They pick up a copy of some shitty-looking used game because their GameStop card saves them 15%. Mm-hmm. And then they either buy it or they say, fine, I'm just going to sell them on eBay. And you need to pack up all of their stupid, shitty, scratched to shit.
You spend a whole half hour, like...
And then as soon as that happens, somebody's going to come in with a game that they bought 2 weeks earlier for $60, complain that they're only getting $30 for it, mm-hmm. and then complain that the used game they're buying...
Is $45.
And not understand the conflict there in terms of a company making business. But either way, a majority of the people that are in the used game racket of I'm going to consistently sell my games are also going to buy used games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's in my experience of working at a game.
I would imagine that in the cases of maybe a new Call of Duty or like huge, huge titles, then maybe you'll see some new sales.
But most of the people aren't saying like, I'm going to trade in Call of Duty and use that money to buy Mirror's Edge.
Yeah.
It's not happening that often.
Yeah.
Yeah, but to my, I personally...
It has never happened. 0% of the time.
I would love to see GameStop gone. But the only way to do that is to just kill used games entirely. And that hurts a lot more people than just GameStop executives and their employees. Like,
you're talking substantial job losses if GameStop entirely is gone.
I mean, we're talking GameStop is the next Circuit City. You know, like,
so,
all of that stuff.
I mean, so... That would be bad for those employees and good for the game industry.
Yeah, it's a weird.
And I'm not going to say I want it to happen because I don't want people to lose their jobs, but it would be really healthy for the game industry if GameStop was cut off like a diseased wound.
Right. Like, it is a gangrenous part of the industry.
Yeah,
and you don't want to lose that arm because sometimes you use it to masturbate and it feels kind of good because it's sort of numb.
Right.
And it's like somebody else is doing it.
It's a stranger.
Poor ghost.
Oh, ooh, ghost. That's an exciting way to think
about it. You're going to think about that
later. It's eventually going to rot the rest of the body, and you're going to go limp in a McDonald's, and no one's ever going to talk to you or find your corpse.
And really, if I'm thinking, and I know a lot of people, there are at least a couple of you out there who work at a GameStop, and this is not a personal thing, and I don't want to see you fired or anything, but if I have to choose between... a guy who makes games and is expending a lot of creative effort on creating like a real and tangible product versus someone who's doing retail. Like, I'm going to choose the guy who's making a real and tangible product.
And you actually do need to make that choice because this is Saw.
Yeah.
And we're going to put a gun to your head and you have to choose one.
I'm ready.
It would be a lot more elaborate than just that in Saw. Those death traps became so ridiculous. Am I the only one who watched any?
I haven't actually seen a Saw movie ever.
I saw.
That shit scares the hell out of me.
I was proud of that.
High five.
Did you see Saw?
You know what I've noticed around the media room in this E3 is that, like, there really is just a lot of, like, cynicism and
this. This is what I've been telling you guys. This is why I don't like coming down to this show, because everyone is super stressed, very anxious about how their game is going to perform or how it's going to be viewed, and there's just such a bad energy. There's such bad mojo all around us.
Well, I think at least in the press room, it's like hearing these people like, well, it's another shooting game, it's another war game, another one of those.
Yeah.
Every game's. I heard a guy say, like, well, every game's the same. And then someone said, well, I played. What did they say? Like, I played.
Beyond Two Souls?
No.
Looks just like Call of Duty.
Killer is dead.
Both have Somalia levels.
List games. List games. Just.
I played Mario Kart 8, let's say.
Just like Call of Duty.
That's not shooting people, but most every game is shooting people. It's boring.
So this is my sixth. Or 7th E3. I think 6th E3. And I still have a super... I'm still excited every year.
Yeah.
But I do notice... The only thing that brings down my excitement is jaded associate manager to a GameStop who walks around talking about how shitty the industry is. Yeah. And not even just GameStop, but like random person who works at even random guy who works at EA, like marketing guy at EA who's complaining about it. Like it's just like, come on guys, just smile and we'll all be happier.
Right. Yeah. Or Henry, were you were you telling me about those guys in the press room that were like writing for like some roller coaster magazine?
That was a really funny story.
The press room was this man and wife. I'm assuming they were a married couple of reporters, but they were older and they actually had like what I assume was their like 20-year-old daughter with them. And so
sounds like Gamer Revolution.
They were talking about
where did you write?
Gamer Vision. Revolution's a different site. I like the guys there.
Okay.
Cool. Okay, but so they were talking to this other guy, and they're like, man, all these people here, some people obviously under 18, and GameStop managers and all this stuff, it's gone. They've just let it all go. And then a little bit later in their conversation, they were sitting at the same table as me, I was ignoring them. They go like, where do you work? And the guy said, blah, blah, blah. And then they said, where they work. They said, oh, they run a blog that mainly writes about amusement parks. But, you know, she's really into games. We came here and we're covering it. I was like, what? Come on.
Just as bad.
You are nobodies. You're not professional.
So now that we've finished being cynical about how cynical E3 has become.
Right.
What did everyone see today that was awesome?
Oh, shoot.
Don't talk about that one thing. Don't talk about the thing that CCP, because I'm going to see that tomorrow and I want to talk about it.
I'll talk about, I saw Resistance.
No, I saw Killzone.
Oh,
I was going to say, there's a Resistance.
So sorry. Killzone. I saw Killzone.
So I'm a big fan of Killzone as a franchise.
Yeah. So I had Killzone demoed for, I know, well, so the head of Guerrilla Games was demoing Killzone for me. That was
pretty cool.
Helmet or whatever his name is.
I don't think his name is Helmet.
No, it is something like that. Yeah. It's really.
Is his name Helmet?
I think that's his last name.
No, I think that's his first name. Anyway, he's a super nice guy.
Is his name Henry Helmet?
No.
Damn it.
Anyway.
Was that a laugh?
A cough?
Were you trying to hide a cough and a laugh?
It was the laugh that turned into a laugh.
Okay.
Anyway. Sorry to interrupt.
But anyway, so this game looks super pretty. No shocker, it was on the PS4.
No fingers up two parts of your body at once. That was weird. I'm sorry. I made a weird joke and I regret it really hardly. Really hardly I regret
I'm
that.
You're about Killzone.
I'm sorry, that was... I legitimately am about to go throw up.
Tasteless list of that joke?
Yes. It has left such a bitter taste in my mouth that not even
this IPA
can wash it out.
One guy in this room is trying to talk about Killzone. The other guy in this room is talking about fingering and putting a pinky in
anal
asshole.
Play. He's talking about anal play.
Sorry, that was wildly inappropriate. I'm embarrassed for myself. For everybody listening, I'm
too loose on these things.
Well, I'm sorry. This is after seeing Killer is Dead, this is what's in my mind now because of that jiggle.
All right.
I'm telling you, that game put dirty things in my head. I'm not happy about it.
Bring it back. Bring it back.
Dirty things in your head. I'm digging a deeper hole.
I forgot how to words. Please continue to talk about Killzone.
Turn Ryan's microphone off for a few minutes.
All right.
I just turned it off.
Or turn it louder.
All right. Helmet from Guerrilla Games is demoing Killzone for me. And all I wanted to say about the game is it's super pretty because it's on the PS4. Also, the thing that they're doing that's... They're really complicating the game and with this... it's like a flying... little drone that kind of surrounds you.
Does it use a companion app?
It's basically a companion dog, but a machine, like a drone, UAV drone or something like that. And you swipe up to, like, it has four different... What are you laughing about?
Sorry.
Are you still thinking about anal play?
No. Continue.
All right. Four different inputs this drone has, and you use the PS4 or PS4 controller to choose which one you want, and then the left L1 to activate that ability. And it's just like they added 4 more inputs to a 17 input controller.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Plus, you can click on the touchscreen as well. So the inputs are kind of getting out of hand.
Oh no.
There's just so many buttons at this point. Like I am fine. Like there's a lot of people who will pick
and
up.
And this is coming from somebody
controller.
Who played an MMO.
Yeah.
Which usually you have to. You could probably play an MMO effectively with a grand piano.
Right.
It would be really good to play an MMO with a piano.
Yeah.
And it would sound wonderful.
But so just playing Killzone, I was really seeing like, all right, we're reaching the point where you're loading too much input into one controller.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why the Kinect is the future, man. You're the controller.
Yeah. Well. But Killzone itself,
is
like
it
the
Herman Holst.
It's a really weird name. Helmet okay. Something.
I'm sorry.
Excuse me.
I was looking up names because I want to see if his name is Helmet.
I swear it has Helmet in it.
Yeah. Really, I'm not making that up. I'm pretty good with these types of things. Anyway, so crazy inputs. That game is fun. It's very fun. The level design, the layout's very good. Obviously, it was still in a preview build, so there was some glitchy stuff, but whatever. The other thing that it's a huge missed opportunity for them is, so this UAV drone is kind of like your buddy throughout the game, but it doesn't have a personality. It's like if they would have just given it a little bit of like a little goofiness to it. Just
it needs
so
like a ghost in the machine. Kind of like a little twitch.
Like you want it to be GLaDOS?
Or Claptrap?
No.
Johnson, was that the dude's name?
I mean, I don't want him to be goofy. I just want him to have like a little something that I can be empathetic with.
Like even Cortana. Like
yeah.
He needs like a personality
like,
of
I don't,
any kind.
Exactly. Like I don't want it talking to me. I just want it to be a little like a little kid almost.
So like when it goes to open a door for you, if it like
it does like some weird spinning moves.
Like made
something.
Like a noise or something like a little like something like it's not perfect, not it's not a it Deus Ex. That series is famous or infamous, I guess, for just having like, hey, we need something that resurrects people. Resurrection gun, point it at somebody, resurrect them. Like it's always like it's a bunch of Deus Ex machinas like piled on top of each other. Like,
yeah.
Hey, we need a mechanic that does this. Robot, flying robot, points at people, does stuff.
Right. Yeah. What it is exactly? What it is it just needs to be a little playful. Because I feel like that would make it much more. I would connect
less
with
medicinal.
It.
Sort
yeah,
of.
Yeah. But aside from that, the actual gameplay itself was really fun.
Does it look
just gorgeous?
So Killzone 2 and 3 already look better than just about anything short of like Battlefield 4.
Mm-hmm.
Does this look like a next gen game, or does it look like?
Yeah.
Hey, well, look, the Killzone guys made a Killzone.
So I haven't. It looks like. Killzone 4, if that makes any sense. Like,
I mean, it's
if you take the jump from Killzone 2,
it's the
to
worst
Killzone,
answer you could have given.
If you take the jump from Killzone 2 to Killzone 3, you see that progression. And if you take the jump from Killzone 3 to Killzone 4, there's a similar progression. Like, it looks better, but it's not something where I'm like, this is some crazy shit.
Does it look more like the jump from Killzone 2 to 3 than 1 to 2?
I can't speak to that.
I mean, Killzone 2 was a PS2 game.
I would say it's more like the jump from Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 to Modern Warfare 3. So it looks clearly better, but not so much better that it justified a new console.
Does it look like they could pretty much have done it on the PS3?
I don't want to say
I feel
but
like...
maybe. I feel like the
thing... Does it look like Uncharted 1 to Uncharted 2? I guess.
I would say more Uncharted 1 to Uncharted 3.
So I think a lot of the things that we're going to, especially in the early years of the new hardware that we'll see with the visuals, is that it's not going to be so much like a higher res texture thing as it is just more stuff.
Yeah, more, no, that's one thing that I was thinking of too.
More lighting, more particles, more...
Or even like, it looks like Killzone 2, but you're fighting 300 people that are all given their own AI, like,
right.
I'm still, I mean, game like the industry fucked up World War II so bad over the years, but imagine now, imagine the Normandy beach we could have today. How fucking crazy that would look if you had, like, they could be like, well, how many people were there? 5,000? All right, let's do it.
And it's funny because it's like, I feel like the industry got pretty good at pretending like there was like 5,000 people and like tricking us into thinking that we were looking at a lot more people. And now they're not tricking us, but we're already tricked.
Our suspension of disbelief is set. It becomes kind of like a more fulfilling, like,
visceral.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of nuance that I think a lot of people like that it's impossible for the consumer to see, but is actually there.
Yeah, game developers have been so good at smoke and mirrors that now when they move them out of the way and replace them with real things, we're not actually appreciative of...
That's kind of the sense that I'm
getting. I remember Killzone 2, they showed off footage at one point where it's like there's a character, there's like somebody found that they were essentially faking a lot of stuff. Like, you'll look at a fence and the fence will cast a realistic shadow on the wall. Mm-hmm. But it's not. They just made a texture of a shadow.
Right.
Like, there's no dynamic lighting. But now the shadows are there, and it's like, all right, big whoop. I didn't know
that was
fake.
I've seen shadows before. Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
So they're going to have to, add a smoke. The games are going to have to go out of their way to let you influence the world in ways that they hit it. Mm-hmm. Like, games need to stop putting rubble on stairs.
Yeah.
Essentially. Like, we've come to become familiar with rubble on stairs. Or, a fucking overturned desk in a doorway. And you're like, well, fuck, I guess this side of the world is off limits to me.
Or games a bland texture on a door that says, well, I know this isn't a real door that can be opened.
Although there was that in Killzone.
Oh, I'm sure there's still going to be plenty. But games are going to start peeling those things away, and we're slowly going to notice that they're more open and better and more realized.
And it'll become, super obvious, 2 years from now when we compare footage of what'll then be current gym games compared to...
No, yeah, exactly. Like, this is just, the first title coming out. Yeah. So, it's going to be a couple years.
Like I said on yesterday's podcast, seeing Final Fantasy XV and then seeing Lightning Returns followed up right after, you're like, whoa, this is a whole different...
I feel like, at GDC, I saw Thief. And I couldn't talk about this then, but I saw Thief today, too. And I saw Thief, and I'm like, shit, you know what? That looks really good. I'm not sure if I buy it as, holy shit, this is what the next gen looks like. And then I went and saw Fuse, and I'm like, oh, I didn't know Fuse was a Nintendo 64 game. When you see them side by side, you notice the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of what I was talking about yesterday with Watch Dogs, where it's like you see Watch Dogs on the Wii U, and it looks like a completely different game than Watch Dogs on the Xbox.
I would say this, if you are feeling like these games don't look that much better, honestly, as soon as these consoles hit display stands and Best Buys and GameStops, go look at them, and I promise you will be convinced otherwise.
Also, believe you me, GamesRadar is going to have plenty of videos showing Watch Dogs on the
That's free money right there.
Yeah, seriously.
Free money.
Yeah, Watch Dogs on Xbox 360 versus Watch Dogs on Xbox One. And even though at first you're going to be like, they look similar, you're going to be like, oh, there's buildings out there?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, even things as small as the draw distance, how far you can actually see because especially in open world type games, as you're walking along, then suddenly buildings are popping up and people are appearing. And now that's really not the case. You can see all that as far as you might be able to.
I finally played a PS4 game today, which was Octodad.
Dadliest Catch,
which...
Indie game.
Huh?
Indie game.
Yeah, it's an indie game. I've been looking forward to it since it existed long before I was aware of it, but I saw it at PAX Prime last year, and I thought it was really cool looking. And the guy who was in charge of the the indie booth area, the guy who was leading the Octodad booth at PAX, He was showing me the demo.
Oh, cool.
At Sony, and I was like, oh, hey, I remember you from PAX. And he seemed kind of grumpy, but he probably had to do a million of those. But anyway, the reason I mentioned this was, first, the PS4 controller does feel a little weird at first touch, but I do like it.
I liked it a lot.
And second...
I think I like it as much as the Xbox 360 controller.
I wouldn't go that far yet.
Myself. Yeah, I wouldn't go that far yet. I do like it.
But the
totally better than the PS3 one.
The problem with this indie push, I realize now, is these games don't look next gen. None of them do. They're indie games that all could be done on the PS3.
So I saw an indie game today, Secret Poncho, and I actually asked them, is there anything you're doing at all that you couldn't have done on the PS3? And I don't know if it's an initiative with Sony talking to them.
I like it just being published.
No, well,
we couldn't be published because they needed this game.
They said they're like, well, because all these indie games were being made for PC, essentially, mm-hmm. every single one. But they said they're like, well, now that we have the power, we are using it. So, like, the game they showed me didn't have it, but they're like, right now the shadows are just your regular video game shadows, but we're going to have ambient inclusion. Like, we're going to have all these crazy shadow effects. And, like, all of our characters right now just have, like, they all have clothes on, so we're just going to turn on fabric, like, mm-hmm. realistic fabric, physics. So everyone's like,
that's a switch.
Yeah, it's essentially like, it's like, well, right now we don't have that stuff implemented, but we can add it, and we're going to for the PS4 version, and we wouldn't be able to if we made a PS3 version or even the PC version, because PC indie games can usually, you want to aim low, so everyone can play it, because it's like $4. But this is like, well, everyone who plays it's going to have a PS4. So I think you're going to see that. But I could totally see, like, a lot of games. Like, I saw another game where I asked them, like, what are you doing in the next gen? It was a Raise the Dead. Like, what are you doing next gen that you couldn't do now? And they're like, nothing.
Yeah.
Like, maybe we're going to try to have a lot of people on screen. That'd be cool.
Right. But, yeah, I know. I mean, I feel like indie is just kind of a different... Indie is kind of the fill that's like, all right, these are games for the console. Yeah. We could have
like we talked about yesterday, like, Nintendo is actually like pursuing it as heavily as Sony in terms of like AAA games are going to become bigger and better but fewer and further between, and the thing that's going to fill the gap in between Infamous and Killzone 5 is going to be like 80 indie games.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Sony's it seems like they're ready to give away a lot of them, or also just you know, with PlayStation Plus, or I think they actually do cross-buy for everybody. Like, most of the indie games they're publishing now on PS3, it's like, buy it there, it's on you, just have it.
Yeah. So yeah, I think Sony is kind of getting this idea that it's going to be... There's going to be some convincing that's going to be required to get people to upgrade. And they're like, all right, we know that we're going to have to, you know, suck it up here in the first year.
It's the opposite of what Microsoft is doing.
Right. Microsoft is like, check out this golden piece of device that we have given you. You are welcome.
Like, and you know, another interesting thing about the... we're going to be harping on Microsoft. Deal with it.
Man, I mean...
But...
Microsoft has shit the bed.
Well, yes.
I wonder how many podcasts in a row I can use that phrase.
I mean, it's a good phrase.
Unless Don Matrick stops waking up at 3 a.m. and going, God damn it, I did it again!
I imagine him waking up at 3 a.m. and being like, ooh, this is a good line. And then he writes it down in his bedside notebook and saves it for the next day.
And then just
day.
Shits. what I was going to say is when Sony was saying, look at this golden box, it's the most powerful thing ever, and you need it, it was. We didn't need it, but they were like, look at those graphics, look at Uncharted, you can't get that anywhere else, and you couldn't. Microsoft saying that with nothing to back it up. Yeah. They're like, look at this, look at how good the graphics are in Rise, a game that Ryan was saying that there was a NeoGAF thread that was just like, journalists don't like Rise. Like, links to, like, every preview. Every preview is like, this game kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Like, there isn't a single Xbox One exclusive that is previewing well.
What are the exclusives?
So we got Forza, which it might preview well if people were previewing it, but game journalists don't give a shit about Forza. Right. If you like Forza, I'm sure it's fine.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure it's better than Drive Club. I'm saying that now. Forza's probably a better game than Drive Club. Right. I know nothing about either. You have Forza... You have Rise.
Quantum Break.
You have Quantum Break.
What is Quantum Break?
So, real quick, I sat in a boot. Was that today or yesterday?
You talked about this the last episode.
Oh, okay.
It's the game by Remedy it's part TV show, part game.
Oh,
yeah.
But we still know so little about it.
They said the gameplay is basically like Max Payne.
Okay.
Which is weird, because plus investigative scenes that are sort of like LA Noir.
Yeah. You get this
interesting,
sense.
But that company has a history of taking forever.
Yeah.
So we probably have 3 years until we play
that game.
Who
knows? Yeah. We'll see.
I get the sense that Microsoft is not ready. Like, they wanted this to happen in 2014.
Yeah.
And they feel obligated to get their box out.
So there's Dead Rising. Alongside.
There is Dead Rising.
Dead Rising might be the best looking exclusive coming out in the system's first year.
I still haven't seen it.
Or the first few months.
God, I'm still trying to think of what other exclusives they have.
People keep saying Titanfall, but Titanfall is coming out on the Xbox 360, PC, and Xbox
One. Getting that for the PC.
Oh, yeah.
I like my PC.
Me too.
I'm using it.
Yeah.
And then there's Killer Instinct, which is so complicated.
That's free-to-play, but
I don't understand what is going on with Killer Instinct.
I still haven't done the research.
It's either a free-to-play game where you get one character to play. It's a full game that you can play everything, or it's a hybrid that
I think it might be both. I think it's going to be like, which makes sense. I mean, you go to the store, you buy Killer Instinct for, I'm hoping not $60. But let's say it's like you go to the store and you buy Killer Instinct, or you get essentially what is a free-to-play version where you can play with people, but you only get one character, and maybe each character is $5 after that. That's my hope.
Or it rotates every week.
Their version of a free-to-play game. I feel like a fighting game is the only game you can really do that with.
For posters.
Well, they also have Loco Cycle,
which is also on Xbox 360, isn't it? Or is it only one
now? They're still making it for 360, but it'll be out on the one first.
I played it.
Yeah. And then there's a lot of stuff that we just got trailer teases for. Hey, Halo. Hey, Black Tusk. Some Rainbow Six Black Tusk.
Black Tusk and Halo aren't far enough along to have names.
Right.
Yeah.
And how do you not? I don't know if they're launched. Like, are they launching with any kind of exclusive system?
Honestly, they're launched.
Forza, Rise, and
Dead Rising.
That's their launch lineup.
That's
when
rough.
You compare that to what Killzone, Drive Club, and Knack.
Do you think this is why they're
honestly,
pushing?
Honestly, I don't know that. I think neither of them really have.
Killzone
insane...
is a stronger, launch game. People like a shooter at launch.
Yeah,
Killzone will be a good one. I'm sure of it.
I want Knack to surprise me.
So you know what my guess is?
Knack is not going to surprise you.
Sony, I know exactly what Knack is, and I'm in for it. Yeah. It's a tech demo. Every console launches with a tech demo. It's their rise.
It harkens back of like to Super Mario 64 or.
It's gonna be more like whatever that fucking fireworks game for the
PS2 was.
Oh jeez.
Boom Boom Rocket.
No.
Fantavision. No.
It was a PS2 launch title that was like, look at the graphics. Oh. Here's my guess.
Yep.
Microsoft won this last console generation when it comes to third-party games.
Uh-huh.
Especially when it came to third-party games that are online.
Uh-huh.
Sony and Microsoft are both going to launch. I think they're banking that their big, exclusive, giant air quotes launch titles are Battlefield and Call of Duty. That people are going to be like, well, my friends play on Xbox Live, so I want to get the next-gen version. Of course I'm going to get that. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to compete with that. That's my guess.
I mean, it is possible.
It's
my
the hubris
guess,
that,
my
that
guess
Sony had.
Is the reason why we've been hearing so much about the TV and the fantasy draft shit is like they're hoping that the media component of the Xbox will carry the thing until they can get some games.
See, the funny thing is that's the opposite.
Yeah.
Like, that will dominate mid-generation.
Uh-huh.
Once you get some games out there, it will dominate, but I can't see. I know a lot of people that are huge media enthusiasts that don't play games. Like they love movies, they love TV shows. Mm-hmm. If I went to them today and I'm like, "Hey, do you want to talk to your TV and have it record shit with your voice?" They'd be like, "Yeah, sure." I'd be like, "Okay, $500." They'd fucking laugh in my face.
You
no one's gonna spend $500.
Yeah, I might be tainted in this regard. But I would do it. Because I think that's cool.
But you could also do it with the Xbox 360 now for $200. But
it's not as good.
But
it's
also
not as quick and responsive and instant.
I think the Xbox One is losing the debate, though. Like, just...
Losing. They've lost.
But just think of now what will happen, like, just at your local GameStop again, or Best Buy or whatever. Someone goes to get one PS4 or an Xbox One. Not only is there the price tag... They say, well,
all the GameStop employees are going to be like, oh, you don't want an Xbox.
Yeah, they're going to be told not to say it, but
yeah.
They will.
Just ask Best Buy or Walmart, like, so what's the deal with the Xbox One? Anything different about it? Like, well, I heard it doesn't play used games or something. Oh, I'm not buying that.
I'm really looking forward to the email leaks at GameStop where, like, they find really, really nice ways to say, like, we don't want you to tell people not to buy the Xbox One. But we'd really prefer it if they all bought Wii U and PS4.
It's like, we don't want you to not vote for Obama, but if you could vote for Mitt Romney, you'll probably have a job tomorrow.
Yeah. What company did that? Some company did that.
A lot of, there was like a timeshare company. And yeah. A lot of companies did. Papa John's, I think.
Well, they just
said, that was the Obamacare thing.
Yeah, they just said if Obamacare exists, we're going to have to cut hours or people's jobs. But what? Anyway, that's not...
Yeah.
Okay. A whole other new subject. Brian and I saw Killer is Dead.
All you, PS3, man. 360 that game. One is that
is
game
that
was beyond
why
me.
Still are pitching a tent.
I'm looking at your crotch right now, and I can totally see a tent.
Are you able to see that through my fat? I'm surprised.
Killer is Dead is Suda 51's new game, which is
the worst part. Henry, I'm not going to interrupt you because I actually need to ask you to stop for a moment. The worst part is that in my mind, I just tried to picture how fat could.
It's not a fupa. Is it a fupa?
Yes.
Okay.
Upper penile area.
You have a really fucked up laugh.
It's fine. At least I don't have a fupa.
Well, right. I'll trade you.
So, the Killer is Dead. We talked about it before. And it's just a game. We watched like a really violent.
I really hope Sophia doesn't listen to this podcast.
No, this is not the one for Sophia.
We watched a really violent level where he kills a bunch of robo samurai. And
it looked really cool.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
I have an honest question about that game. Mm-hmm. What is it?
It's
fair.
It's basically
fair.
It's a usual third-person action game like DMC or Ninja Gaiden.
Okay, I realized as you were talking about it that I knew nothing about it.
You have a bionic arm that can change into
bionic
different...
Bionic left arm that transforms. And you're right.
That's fine, DMC style. That's cool. That's all I need to know.
It's very, very...
Does it look more DMC?
Very, very bright colors.
It looks
really
more
cool.
DMC or gameplay-wise, or does it look more Lollipop Chainsaw?
It's probably...
It's a deeper combat than Lollipop Chainsaw.
Deeper than Lollipop Chainsaw, not quite DMC level.
Okay.
Yeah, but one of my favorite bits is where you do the usual third-person action game sidestep, but if you time it the right way, you'll do an awesome combo that cuts a dude in half.
You know what it reminded me of is when you do Blade Mode in Revengeance.
Yeah.
You don't quite control the direction of the slices, but it has that same kind of feel and look to it.
Yeah, and unlike the previous Suda 51 games that take place over like a night or one ongoing story, this one is 13 episodes, so it's really not unlike Quantum Break. It's supposed to be like a season of a TV show with an overarching story and your guys set on missions.
Kind of like Asura's Wrath, even.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, I would say more like Asura's Wrath because I think Killer is Dead is another game that this could be an anime.
Absolutely.
And one of my favorite bits, too, is like when you kill every boss who is the guy you're sent to assassinate, you say, Killer is Dead, and then you hold the R trigger, and he cuts off the dude's head.
It reminded me, and that part even reminded me of a lot of, like, the fight against Boss Big Boss in Metal Gear Solid 3, Boss. Where at the end you have the gun out and you have to pull the trigger. It's kind of like that very much same thing. Where it's like you have to actually.
So we had a cool time. We watched two different levels. One in Kyoto, one in a weird giant building. And they say you eventually fight on the moon even. And it had
sounds
spoilers.
And it had a lot of funny text in it. So then at the end of the demo, which was being played for us by a young lady. Which is important to this story.
This was really bizarre.
So I heard about in the game has a mode called Gigolo Mode.
Okay.
And so the concept is that Suda 51 usually makes his characters based sort of on a menagerie of different film archetypes. Mm-hmm. This guy's supposed to be James Bond.
Okay.
So between missions, he's getting his Bond girl equivalents and meeting them and talking them up. And so there's scenes where you meet women in bars and talk and supposedly seduce them. The way in which you seduce them.
Now, before Henry explains this,
okay,
because it's pretty weird,
okay,
keep in mind that a nice young lady is driving this demo for us, and she's like, "Oh, I can't wait to show you guys Gigolo Mode."
Yeah, she was enjoying it. She said she loves Gigolo Mode.
Was this a booth babe or what?
No. She's one of the Exceed employees.
Okay.
One reason why.
One reason why.
One reason why.
And it was one of the most one of my most uncomfortable moments I've ever experienced.
Well, we had to finish it though. We finished quit in the middle.
Finish
it
up.
No, I want to see how this ends. So you, the main character Mondo Zappa, he meets this girl in a bar. He starts talking to the girl, and then you could look at her face, but you're
first person.
Why would you do that?
It's first person mode. If she looks away at a drink, that is your chance to ogle the shit out of her.
You look at her boobs. You'll look at her legs, and when I say legs, I mean as high up as they can go. Uh-huh. And she's practically not wearing anything but a shirt.
Uh-huh. Well, and the girl who was controlling the game, she was a pro at it. She was like, boobs, boobs, thighs, boobs, thighs, boobs, thighs. Oh, the girl's looking back. All right, hey, looking at your eyes. And then
that's actually kind of funny.
The game has a day one DLC included
pre-order incentive
mm-hmm. which are x-ray glasses. So you can then see
her in the scantiest bra and underwear set.
Right on.
But if she catches you looking too many times, she'll slap you in the face. But then, to earn her favor, you give her presents.
Mm. And each girl that you encounter has different tastes, so you have to kind of figure out what gifts they like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in her case, what was her name? Natalie.
Natalie.
I'm sorry, that was a
man.
That was a lead.
There was an excellent
summoner slip.
Natalie.
We'll call it.
That was summoner slip.
That's nice.
God, saw those cosplayers pictures that I took of the people. So Tencent puts. I'm so sorry. I will tell the story later.
Okay.
Yeah, tell it later.
The cosplayer was playing Nidalee. Good God. Okay. Good God.
Also, then we give her the demo.
I don't think that's finished.
She gives her the presents, and then they give her the presents, and she's like, "Hey, I want to show you something." They leave the bar together, and at that point, it's like, "How far does this go?"
Because at this point, we're already like, we being Henry, myself, and Thomas,
are you controlling this guy, at this point?
Well, she's controlling.
Oh, okay.
You would be if you were playing.
You would be. Yeah, you would be controlling this. And at this point, we're already like, oh my god, this is really uncomfortable because, man, that imagery is...
Well, yeah, so then it cuts to the girl's bedroom. Mondo, still fully dressed, he's sitting on her bed. And then the girl, walks towards him. Now she's in her underwear, she's walking towards the camera. And then the camera, we're like, this is the end, right? And then the camera goes behind her. And reveals she's wearing a thong, so basically it's just her entire ass in frame.
That's the part of the human body you're allowed to show.
She bends over, climbs across the bed toward you, while it's still on her ass. And then it zooms to her breasts and shows those hanging down as she's crawling.
Uh-huh.
And then she says something.
By the way, if you ever want to find an unsexy way to describe the way a woman's breasts look, hanging down. There's very little sex.
They're just dangling.
They share a little bit of dialogue, kiss, and then the camera pans up.
And then, blessedly,
and then he lets fly a howling scream of triumph.
Everyone laughed at that. That kind of broke the tension in the room a little bit.
Yeah,
so then after the whole reason you're having sex with her, from a gameplay standpoint, is that you get a special item.
Oh, that's excellent. It's called the clap.
Yes. No, because then the next day she goes, hey, good morning, I made this for you. And it's like, oh, cool, a new sword or something.
I'll see you again, right? She says.
You'll come back again.
Yeah. All right. So anyway.
And you're like, yeah.
Killer's dead.
That's the killer's dead. Out sometime in the summer.
Yeah, summer.
Which is now, but if you figure they have a day for that.
That description exhausted me.
So I saw Sonic the Lost World.
As did I.
And looks aight.
All right.
Yeah.
So it looks, if in the first trailer, it's like, huh, looks like it might be Super Mario Galaxy, except with Sonic.
Mm.
And that's what it is.
It is, except the worlds are made differently for them. Like in Mario, it's a lot more circular worlds. In Sonic, those planetoids...
They're tubes.
They're tubes. They're very long tubes. My favorite was it actually was the least fast. It involved the most slow platforming, which I don't think Sonic does well. But from a design standpoint, I liked the candy world.
Yeah, you were running on Twizzlers.
Oh, that's cool.
Or red vines, if you're a
Did it look pretty awesome?
Yeah.
And Oreos.
Looks good.
I'm not game. Interested.
It was gorgeous. They took
There's no way this game is going to be good.
The three levels last
Do you know a Sonic game that I saw that actually looked appealing to me? I saw somebody playing it on
Sonic Colors?
On an iPad on the bus or something like that. Well, I was on the bus.
Isn't it
sure.
like an Infinite Runner Sonic game they made, I think?
It may have been, but it was like, so Sonic is like your fixed camera behind him, and he's running, and you have to like swipe left, swipe right, hit the stars, and all this stuff, and it's like, that actually seems to capture the speed and momentum and kind of exhilaration.
I watched
of
a funny video
games.
Recently, and I sent it to Henry, where somebody went into the original Sonic the Hedgehog, mm-hmm. figured out how tall he is, mm-hmm. based on like, other games where he's standing next to humans that you have the height of. Figured out...
I apologize.
Oh my god!
Fuck! That's what that was? I thought maybe it was the chair.
No.
No! I have to sleep in this room!
Sorry.
Oh god, the smell! Oh, it's in my throat! So...
I couldn't hold it anymore. Sorry.
Oh!
Oh!
I forgot.
Oh my god.
So.
Oh, that's good. That was good. I had a good time.
I hate farting on podcasts too. I hate it when other people do it.
That's a thing I fucking hate!
You'd be surprised how much it comes up in my podcast.
Oh, god damn it.
Oh, I'm crying.
That's on my...
Oh, you're not on my bed. That's okay.
So, they figured out how fast he was running.
Okay.
And at his absolute fastest, he's still not running as fast as Mario in the original Super Mario Brothers.
Really?
He is... All of the Sonic is faster than the speed of sound bullshit is marketing.
Well...
Alright, but so, Lost Worlds did feel fast.
Uh-huh.
It did, yeah. Uh-huh. Except for the Red Vine level, which kind of
yeah,
felt slow.
Yeah, it was made you slow down, but the like, Honeycomb level, and they, please, we have to move on. We have to finish this podcast, guys. Just let it go.
I'm sorry, I had to update
the link. They also took a lot of pride that the game ran at 60 frames per second.
They did, and they gave us two totally different answers to the same question.
Yeah, so I don't know who you, the aforementioned head of Sonic team,
oh,
he was the one that told me, like, when they had no thoughts about Sonic Extreme when they made that game, when they were making the game, and they said that they were surprised to read about it on the internet, like some people do think so.
And when I brought up that it looked like Smash Bros., fuck, man! God damn it!
When I brought up that it looked like Smash Brothers, or it looked like Galaxy, I tried to act like Sonic, they've been wanting to do that all along. What else did anyone else see?
I saw Diablo 3 on consoles. Surprisingly fun. I had a good time with it.
I think that game will be good on consoles.
It felt better on consoles, weirdly. It's shocking to me that they hadn't brought that to consoles before. One of the ways in which they're making it better on consoles is they're kind of limiting the amount of loot that you can get. Or rather, limiting the drops that you can get. So, like, they cut out a lot of the, like, standard trash items. You just look like you're about to spontaneously combust into laughter.
No.
Okay. So that was one thing. And then the other thing that they're doing with it is they have this, auto-assist targeting kind of thing where, like, say you have one of those beams that you shoot, like as the sorceress, you have
sure.
that decelerate.
Use a lot of Dragon Ball beams.
Yeah. So you shoot that, and what it'll do is it'll kind of lock on an enemy, but it's kind of problematic because you're locked onto this enemy, but you know there's a lot of like, okay, now I want to shoot that guy, and this guy isn't necessarily dead, so it just kind of feels a little sluggish, kind of moving it around.
I wondered how that would work because you know a lot of the times, especially in the higher difficulties, like that's very much a twitch.
Yeah, yeah,
where
yeah.
You have to just, like, within a millisecond be able to target correctly where you need to shoot it.
Yeah.
So I was kind of curious. I haven't had a chance to check it out yet.
Yeah, we were playing on Nightmare difficulty with four people, and obviously, you know, I'm sure they had tweaked it, so it was super easy or whatever, but I don't know. I mean, I feel like it was definitely, like, I was having a really good time playing it. And I can see myself just kind of checking out and playing that. And it's like it's really into like all of the skills are mapped to like you've got six skills.
They simplified it so much based from the last few Diablos that it kind of
Felt
like it would be better on a controller anyway.
And one thing they added was they mapped to the right thumbstick the ability to dodge left and right. So it's like a dash almost.
That's
like,
pretty cool.
Like so you can dash out of the way. But all said, it was I would totally play that game. Like I played all through the PC version, and I would go back and play that on console again. It was fun.
Cool. Anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah. I played Castlevania: Lords of Shadow 2.
Oh yeah.
After waiting in a long line like a fucking commoner.
Man, yeah, that was weird. That press line was like 45 minutes long.
Really?
Don't yeah, they bizarre. Know who we, and by we I mean the press, are?
No, it's just not the norm for E3.
It was nice. I cut in like five lines today.
No. I told you the difference between being a GameSpot employee and a GamesRadar employee, right?
Well, that you get into anywhere instantly, probably, as a GameSpot employee.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, not even, like, you don't even have to ask. Somebody just sees you and is like, oh, yeah, come to
the front. Did we tell the story on this about the mix-up about our, when we went to see Nintendo?
No. I don't think so. Maybe. I don't remember. Tell it again. Cool story, bro. Tell it again.
Yeah. It's a cool story. So we went to see Nintendo at their, like, event yesterday. Yesterday?
Yesterday.
And we're in line. Henry and I are on the list. Thomas, our video guy, is supposed to be on the list. So we get to the front of the line. Or we're midway through the line. Woman walks over and asks our names. And she's like, oh, Thomas, you're not on the list. So she goes to check. And she's like, oh, well, where are you guys from? Blah, blah, blah. And we're like, oh, we're from GamesRadar. And she kind of looks around. She's like, all right, you're fine. Just, if anybody gives you a problem, let me know. So we're like, okay, cool. That's cool. 5 minutes later, we're at the front of the line. The woman's like, oh, Thomas, you're not on the list. You can't get in. And we're like, oh, that lady said we could. That miss, can you come over here? And we wave her over. And she runs over, and she's like, yeah, no. They're all with Game Informer. You have to let them in. And Henry and I look at each other and nod. We go, yes.
Yeah, we are.
Yes,
yeah.
You do.
Yeah, of course.
You gotta let us
and
in.
Thomas nods, and we walk into the room. And
yeah.
Happens. Anyways. Castlevania.
Mm-hmm.
Lord of the Shadow 2.
Lords of Shadow 2.
You play
as Gabriel again, although now
Hold
he's
on,
Dracula.
Was that supposed to be a Patrick Stewart impression?
No, it was supposed to be a dramatic.
The bit I played was not in a modern-day setting. It was in an older setting. I don't know what year. Mm-hmm. But he is Dracula.
I think it was about 1527.
Has his blood whip. He has, like, Hulk hands, fiery Hulk hands.
Oh, I fucking love video game Hulk hands.
Yeah, and he also has a, I forget the name of his sword that he can summon, but it replenishes his health. Those essentially, I don't know if they replace, like, the light and dark magic that was in the first game, but anyways, if combat-wise...
I'm sorry, I was just remembering when Henry sustained a fart for, like, 5 seconds.
Combat-wise, we got so far! We did so well!
Combat-wise, it plays a lot like the first... and I don't know, I got to play like a 25-minute session. Actually, we uploaded that entire segment onto our YouTube channel, so be sure to check that out.
They let us film the whole 25-minute thing?
Yeah, we filmed the entire thing. So if you want to check that out, it's on our YouTube channel, and be sure to do so.
Awesome.
It was really fun.
On our YouTube channel is a dramatic rendition of the Crimson Dragon soundtrack.
Yeah, if you were watching E3, they fucked up. Mm-hmm. And
we fixed it.
I mean, Microsoft fucked a lot of things up that day, the least of which was forgetting to turn the audio on for an entire game trailer.
Right. Admittedly, that game is, well,
but
not worthy of having audio.
It.
Yeah, we did.
We'll link to it on the Twitter account, so you don't have to go navigate through Games Radar or anything horrible that.
I think you and I nailed it. Like, we really got...
Well, I heard the actual trailer after we recorded it.
Uh-huh.
We were 99% there, I think.
Wow. Oh, cool.
Yeah. Not bad.
Right there.
Not
good
bad.
To hear.
Yeah.
Oh, one other thing I saw today. I played Battlefield 4 multiplayer for an hour.
Wow.
And it was fucking incredible. Super good.
and that's all you gotta say.
I mean, again, this is another thing. We captured the entire thing. It's on our YouTube channel. Check it out. Real quick, it is kind of like a cross between Battlefield 3 and Bad Company 2 in that there is a lot more environmental destruction than there was in Battlefield 3,
mm-hmm.
but it has all the cool shit that Battlefield 3 brought. So,
did the building get knocked down in your demo?
Not in mine, but in Greg's it did.
Can we? Greg! We open the door for Greg.
I can't.
Henry,
stand.
Can you open the door for Greg? Greg! Greg, can you come in here for a minute?
No.
We have a podcast question. We're on the podcast. Here. Come here.
Jesus Christ.
Come here. Give. Here. We're talking about Battlefield.
Oh.
And we want to hear about the building collapse.
I'm actually in now.
We want to talk about the building collapse.
Yes.
Hi, Greg.
Hello, everyone.
So, the building collapsed in your game.
Yes.
And you said it was, like, the coolest thing to ever fucking
happen. It was one of the coolest things that I've ever experienced in multiplayer. I played for probably half an hour, and the first half was, you know, a beautiful version of Battlefield 3, and then all of a sudden, you know, the ground started shaking, and what was once a capture point was, what?
I heard ground shaking and thought that big fart again.
Did I miss an epic fart?
Yeah. Dude, it was unbelievable.
Right. Yeah. God. Oddly enough, it didn't smell that bad.
No, it actually, it smells like roses in here. This
right,
is fine.
Please.
Okay, so the ground starts shaking. We're talking 64 players.
You have to keep talking.
All right.
You can't stop talking.
Okay. So
it's like speed. If you stop talking, we all die.
The C capture point was in the center of the map. And so the ground starts shaking. I'm over at A. And Henry farts. And it gets crazy.
Yes,
I'm continuing.
Do not stop talking.
Okay, anyways. Then the building collapses. I wasn't there to see it because I was capturing another point. But I go over to where the area was, where that giant building was, and it is nothing. Like, the building fell into the bay. So, like, the bay is filled with rubble. And where C was just, like, tons of rebar and just, like, mounds of debris. And the coolest thing was the entire area, like, the surrounding, you know, seven blocks. Everything was suddenly covered in a fine layer of dust and ash.
Yeah.
That wasn't there before.
It was really nuts.
It was astounding. And, like, even if you, like, so you're in the epicenter and you're capturing C point. And so I captured C and we moved on into the city, right? And so you can see where the like, dust, the epicenter was in the center and it just, like, flowed out. So if you rounded a corner where the dust would have missed, all the textures and everything were beautiful and pristine, but, like, it just drew a line where everything was covered in dust and ash, and, like, it was phenomenal. It was fantastic. And, yeah, it changed the whole battlefield.
Did you get video of that, or no?
No. I think video was session.
It's probably online somewhere, because they've apparently been, like, streaming the whole thing to Twitch.
Yeah, day. Probably. But I was blown away. And another little anecdote was I hopped into a boat, me and Josh Augustine, formerly a PC gamer, and we were, you know, going around. We shot down a helicopter from the boat, and the helicopter was circling as it was crashing, like, coming towards the boat, and it was about to land on the boat and, like, blow up the boat. And so you hold down E, right? And normally in Battlefield, you just, like, hop over the side and start swimming. But apparently this boat, if you hold down E, all of a sudden you're on a jet ski, and you're...
No.
Yeah.
It deploys them out of the back.
It, like, deploys jet skis out of the back of this boat. And so this helicopter is careening towards our boat, and Josh and I both hop out, jet ski away, as the helicopter crashes into our old boat. The whole thing blows up, and we felt like action hero, you know, movie stars. It was... It's a phenomenal experience. Awesome. I cannot, you know, gush more about it.
Yeah.
You could. But
I could, and I'm going to play more of it tomorrow, purely because of that.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
All right.
I'm turning it over.
So, that is the Battlefield.
Uh-huh.
Anything else anyone wants to talk about, or should we wrap this up because we're going pretty long?
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
I mean, I could talk about Infamous, but...
I think I already did.
Yeah,
Infamous?
Yeah, I saw it Tuesday.
Infamous is super good.
Doesn't it look good?
Yeah.
Looks super good. All right, so that's about it for tonight. We will have another podcast tomorrow. We're not exactly sure how we're going to do it in terms of if it's going to be a traditional episode.
We got a good idea.
A different kind.
I feel like it's a winner idea.
Yeah. It'll be a little different, and then next week will be your regularly scheduled Radio Radars. We're talking about doing an episode of Poke Radar, or maybe
no, definitely
Animal Crossing Radar.
Mm.
Tom has to be on it.
Look, if I can do radar scoops, I guess you guys can do an Animal Crossing.
Yeah, we should do a 4-hour live stream podcast starting tonight.
Uh-huh.
So that's what we're going to do.
Okay.
And anyone else? Good night!